And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not
afraid. Oh, 2020, we're going to have us some fun. We're going to have us some fun on a lot of issues. And I tell you, the one thing that's going to get everybody to turn around and go, what's up, what's up, what's up, what's up, is going to be the economy. It always is. It's the economy, moron, or stupid, whatever. So I'm going, all right, you know, it's going to be the economy. Well, we got Tim Picciotto. I was about to say Dr. Tim Picciotto. Dr. Tim Picciotto. Yeah, he kind of doctor-esque. You know, we'll give him that. I want to ask a bunch of questions, but there's a lot of things that you need to explain to us that is, you know, top of mind. There's so much stuff happening in the news with, like, everything. So Tim's going to help us. Tim Picciotto is, he's got a bunch of initials and, you know, and he's a professional of and certified by and all that and, yeah, whatever. Crypto Self-Direct and Wealth Advisor with Innovative Advisory Group. Now, Picciotto is a trailblazer on this crypto thing. Now, we started years ago talking about this and doing, and he just went all in. And it was a sacrifice and a risk that he took. He's like, no, it's a freedom thing. And I can see when this thing goes, which it's inevitable that it is, how are you going to be able to do trade, commerce? What, do you got to wait for the next, when the bank shuts down and the bank holiday and they come back with the purple script money of whatever the hell with new pictures on it, you know, and new dead presidents or dead activists? You know, when they want to give credibility to something, they always got to put something up there, you know, Merca. You know, what are they going to put on it? It's going to be Statue of Liberty and eagles and stuff. I mean, you know, it's always, or maybe all CNI pyramids. Maybe they'll do that. So there is going to be something happening, and there's a lot of different ways for you as we have the baby boomers retiring, and it's the biggest, largest, oh my goddest, transfer of wealth from one generation to another, and the man wants to get in the middle of that and get some. And one of the ways that they're going to do that is through you dying, the act of dying, healthcare. And if they can speed that along or help and make it more expensive, they got a vaccine for that. So I just, they are the most evil types of, and throughout history, you know, what they would normally have armies come in and take your crap and run away with it, or, you know, take over and take all your women and children and all your goodies and kill you. You know, now they're just, we got pens and stuff to do that with. You know, we just write in pieces of paper and such, you know. So who's going to protect you? Well, you need a wealth advisor. All right. Well, that's Tim Picciotto. All right. So we buttered up Tim enough. Tell us what we need to know, Tim.
Good morning, everybody. So I don't remember if you remember last time we were in studio, I shared with you an Evernote link where it was all of my different financial articles.
Yes, I have it as a hot link going on, but every time I go, it wants me to register something.
Well, I've got a whole bunch of, it's like my own Freedom's Phoenix on there of all different financial articles that I clip out every day and save. So I'm sort of doing the similar thing to what you're doing.
It's right here. I'm going to show the audience right there. I got it on my hot link right there. It's called 10 bits. I put little 10 bits in there. I click on 10 bits and it wants me to, continue with my sign in, log in, and so on. And it comes up. And Evernote is an app that's on, you can put on your phone, or you can go through Tim's stuff up here. And, you know, they got a plan, different plans, and the free, and I got here. And anyway, so you go in, and it's there it is. All right. China says U.S. has agreed to phase out tariffs if deal reached by the blah, blah, blah. Now, what you've gone through, and this is a great resource for a lot of people for the fight, because I always yelled at Tim. He's telling all about this. But I go, why aren't you sending this to me? You want me to put it? I put it up on free. What's up? And he goes, well, you just go to my thing. It's right there. Well, here it is. There it is right there. Okay. So you made me use it. All right. Now what?
Well, you know, I mean, you just go through here and there's just so many, I don't know if you want to call it interesting or if you want to call it, you know, I think newsworthy things. Some of the ones that I clipped out before I came on the show, you know, we had Jerome Powell, which not to be confused with, I guess, Richard Powell.
I know. John Sneezing. Yesterday, I was, all right, I got to get this out. I meant to do this in the first hour. We were talking yesterday, I'm doing about Teneo and the corruption of, and I went through, you know, the first hour and I confused Richard Powell with Jerome Powell. Jerome Powell is the head of the Fed, and he came up through Obama administration as the Fed Board of Governors, different, I don't know where he came out of.
Carlyle Group.
Yeah, he's, you know, a bad guy. He's one of them.
He's worth like $20 million.
Yeah. So there, but there's another guy, Powell, that was head president of this corrupt group that we're doing a thing tonight with James Corbett on called Teneo. And Teneo is, you know, Corruption R Us, came out of the, you know, the Clinton Foundation crap. And the his wife is National Security Advisor Deputy or something in the Trump administration, has her own problems. And I'm going, wow, the head of this thing and her, and I got, oh, and he's the Fed guy? You know, well, it was the wrong pal. So, yeah, I got it.
Well, if his name is Richard, I guess they're both dicks. Anyways. But with Teneo, we first did a show on Teneo 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You and I did a show on Teneo 3 years ago. And it was, and the whole reason we did, I ended up doing that show is because I told you that I had heard Roger Stone, because I forgot the guy's name who comes here like once a year, and he had mentioned Teneo. And then I listened to the show and said, hey, I heard Roger Stone talking quite a bit about Teneo. You should get him on. And then as Roger Stone was supposed to come on the show is when he got attacked by the Polonium attack. So then I was a last second fill in to then talk about Teneo, but I've already, you know, I've already moved on from that. I mean, there's so much. I mean, it's still alive. It's still kicking.
It's going to be a thing. I'm going to make a thing out of it tonight. You know, me and James, I got James looking at it. I just wanted him to even look, and now he's willing to do a show on it. So we're going to get some tonight. Ooh.
Very nice. Well, one of the articles I wanted to talk about, and speaking of Powell, this time Jerome Powell, is that he said that now inflation, instead of, because what they, let me kind of back things up. So originally the Fed was created supposedly in order to protect the value of the dollar, aka not have any inflation. Then they said, you know, well, you know, we can have 2% inflation. And then it became, okay, well, we need to make sure that, you know, we had all these years of 0% inflation, you know, supposedly, you know, on the books. So, you know, it would be okay if we had a few years where it ran over, you know, over 2%. So that way it would make up for it. So let's say you had, say you had 5 years at 1%, and then so maybe you have another 5 years at 3%. So then that way it would average it out to 2%. They came up with, their fancy word was symmetrical inflation, is what they came up with a few months ago. Well, now the new one is symmetrical, meaning that, you know, you can have, it will even out. Basically, it will average out to two. So you have 10-year time span. They're trying to get 2%. So let's say 5 years were at one, which means they could have another 5 years at three, which would be above 2%, but it would average out to two over the time frame. Hold on. But now they've thrown that BS out the window too. And now what they've said, wait for this one. Now Jerome Powell said they're willing to let inflation, this is a quote, run hot prior to the next recession, because they don't want to do anything to jeopardize what's going on right now. And everyone's touting up the stock markets. Oh, it's up 25%, or I don't know what the exact.
Yeah, it's called inflation.
Well, what went on, if you actually look at where the stock market, like the Dow Jones was, and that's where, you know, the average person, that's if they are looking at the market, they're looking at the Dow, but, you know, most financial professionals look at the S&P 500. But anyways, take a look at these big averages since January 2018. I mean, it's up like 6%. Okay, great. You know, we've had the debt deficit double. We've had all these debt go through the roof, and okay, great. You know, we've averaged 3% a year for the last 2 years. So they spin it as, oh, we're up 25%. Yeah, it's because we were down last year. We were down like 20%. So you got to go up 40 to get back to even, you know, depending on where you're at with things. So, yeah, and then we also have another clip from Jerome Powell saying that the debt is growing faster than the economy. So, you know, who would have thunk that? So, yeah, we've got a lot of great things. I don't know if great things to talk about, but, you know, a ton of news. A
lot of interesting stuff. Are people able to go to your finance article list thing that you got here? Is that something people can do?
I haven't. Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we can do that. There's a lot of good stuff here, you know? Yep. But you see it on Freedom Phoenix.
Are you feeling confused about the current economic reports that dominate the headlines? Not sure if this is a good time to buy or sell your home, or feel like the process can be overwhelming and confusing? This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I can take some of the guesswork out of the home buying or selling process, providing you with market trends in your area and detailing what to expect before, during, and after the process. A home is a place where the most important moments in your life happen, so making sure that you know exactly what to expect along the way helps to ensure that you have control. The future is here, so let me help you move forward with your real estate needs. Being in the real estate business for almost 20 years now has afforded me knowledge of the market, networking with industry specialists along the way. Now more than ever, you need an agent that can help you make sense of what many think is a complicated and mysterious process. Feel free to call or message me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819. Or visit my webpage today at donnahancock.com.
I got up here that we had it on Freedom's Phoenix, and you got it on your list here of them in the chair cage interrogating this guy for criticizing police confiscating motorcycles in China. Did you watch that video?
Yeah, I did.
That is freaking freaky as hell. And that is, man, if this isn't Orwellian, I mean,
that's exactly where everything is going. And that's, I think, to me, that's what all the Hong Kong stuff is about, is trying to prevent that from happening to them.
Now, this video had to have been done by the police. It's them. See, this is their mindset. They think that putting this out, well, let's keep everybody in line. We want people to see our little chair thing here, you know? And I'm going, wow, that's like that's going to be a poster. I could see this being a graphic of, are you freaking kidding me? You know,
in a private like WeChat group too. So I mean, this would be like one of the Telegram, you know, groups that aren't private, but everyone's chatting in. So I mean, they're even monitoring the equivalent of like a Telegram group.
Okay, wow. I'm gonna.
This wasn't on Facebook. This wasn't on. This was on a private text messaging app with like 70 people in it. Not even some gigantic thing.
Yeah. No. I'm gonna. We'll come in with this real quick. But the wow. This is where it's going. All right. So what are some of the things you want to make sure we get to? We're back in a minute and a half.
All right. I mean, we've got Deutsche Bank back into the news, where they just—they've still lost $1 billion in one of their units, where they sold off all their bad assets.
Okay. I want to talk about that. This is Goldman Sachs got to get a lot of their toxic waste off of the books, and they'll just pass a law and kind of in the Federal Reserve.
Goldman Sachs actually bought it this time.
Okay.
Which is kind of even
because they're going to have this toxic asset and they're going to do it again. And it goes, Federal Reserve takes it and one for one, and we're good. They already got the pipeline for it, probably making a deal with Deutsche on this. So Deutsche Bank is going, we got to get this stuff off the books. So they create another subsidiary or bank to give it to, and then now that's off, or they can, you know, or they get Goldman Sachs to buy it, because what's happened in the past is they give it to the Fed and then they just write it off. Or so this is coming, you know, they're setting it up. Anytime that they do this, like the SNL scandal back in the late 80s, early 90s was just like a dry run for what happened in 09. So and they're going to do it again. And they keep learning. Nobody goes to jail or anything. And you can see it happen. You're sitting there watching it happen. It doesn't happen all at once, but it does happen overnight. All of a sudden, it's Monday, and all this stuff triggers, and we're screwed. And it's gone.
Not only do they not go to the jail, they get bonuses and end up in the White House, you know, they become Treasury Secretary or economic advisor.
Right, like Gary Cohen.
604-2800. 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Okay, I want to show you this real quick. This is something that was on Tim's thing. You saw it on Freedom's Phoenix if you were paying attention. Here is a guy, a Chinese guy, sitting in this chair cage thing. It's an interesting, you know, it's not like uncomfortable other than you got to be there for God knows how long. It's an interrogation chair that it's like a cage. Imagine being in, what do they call those things that they... the crow's net, they hung you in medieval times and you just had to stand in this cage, you know, that they hung you from. They called it the maiden, whatever it was.
It's like a Milgram experiment type thing where you're locked down. Like it's like a desk where you go to school, except it says like handcuffs that are strapped so you can't even move.
And then they got a bar that comes around your chest and arms. It's a restraining device. And you're in this chair and there's nothing you're going to do about it. Now, I'm going to go ahead and play this. And what you see is it's an interrogation by it's Hong Kong. It's China. I think it's in Hong Kong. The police are there interrogating this guy because what? What did he do, Tim?
I believe that there's police that were confiscating motorcycles and he was making a comment that he didn't think that that was right. And then eventually he has to start, and I don't know if you want to read the subtitles down below, but eventually he's like, oh yes, I'm sorry. It's good that you guys take the, you know, it's not a problem that you guys steal police motorcycles. And so basically the guy is trying to, at that point, trying to say whatever he needs to say. And this is I believe it's a Chinese guy. And I don't think this has anything to do with Hong Kong.
Well, this is what's coming. What he did is he goes, and when did this happen? Last night. This is like the next day. They arrest him, put him in because he made a comment about police confiscating people's motorcycles. And he said something about it on a WeChat thing. There's only like 70 people on it. And they got him or was monitored or one of the guys is a cop or something. And about their confiscating motorcycles, he didn't like it none too much. Boom! Explain yourself, boy, sitting in our chair. I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean it. Why did you badmouth the police? I was drinking. I was drunk. It wasn't my fault. Okay. So this is. I wonder where this footage is obviously taken by, I don't know, a cell phone by one of the policemen or something. And they want people to know this is what's going to happen to you. And I don't know if it's going to have the impact that they thought. This is like needs to be a poster. Damn. But I mean, I just wanted to put that up because that really shocked me that they were promoting this.
Yeah, I mean, you think that that's something that they would try to deny and hide, let alone actually promoting it and filming it nonetheless. But, you know, they think it's going to have a chilling effect. And, you know, to some extent, if you're the guy in the chair, it's going to have a chilling effect. But, you know, for us over here, it gives us something to talk about. And maybe I'll tease something else as non-financial related. Speaking of blunders, I'm not sure. Have you guys talked about or did you happen to hear the clip of Joe Biden at a recent speech talking about his hairy blonde legs?
Oh, do I have to? God.
This is...
You better make this worth it, man. Go.
Believe me, this is absolutely worth it. But what happened is, and I love the internet, I actually thought this was a fake clip because it was so outrageous. I thought it was a deep fake, but apparently it's not. And then somebody took it and turned it into a cartoon. So to set it up, he's at like a stump speech and I don't know, he's at a pool and it's more like inner city black kids that he's speaking with and he's trying to pander to them and make it sound like he's one of them and he's talking about roaches. Anyways, let me go and share. I posted this to my Facebook. Let me just share my screen real quick. And believe me, this is going to be worth it. I mean, it seems fake. It's that outrageous. So let me, you know what? You know, we'll have to maybe tease this for the break because I'm having some, I don't know what's going on in the audio.
And rub my leg down.
Oh, sorry. Can you guys hear
that? By the way, you know, I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
What?
Yeah, there's an actual clip of like the real speech and somebody turned that into a cartoon. But it was so ridiculous. I couldn't even believe him. Like, wait a minute. He's talking about his hairy legs and his
kid jumping on his lap and them stroking his legs and seeing the blonde hair of a wow. That'd be a story you want to repeat never.
That's and then I mean, didn't he recently come out and say, you know, it was a bad idea to legalize marijuana? I mean, I want to know what he's on right now. I mean, for that kind of incoherent rambling that made no sense at all.
So what is his? You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of back when you probably don't remember. 1996, it was Bob Dole running against Bill Clinton. And you're going, what? Yeah, Bob Dole. He's always in the third person. You go, yeah, Bob Dole says this about Bob Dole. Bob Dole. I'm a Bob Dole, and Bob Dole says, you know, and it was like he was so, are you kidding me? That's the nominee. And I watched that train wreck, and it was because it was his turn. So Biden, he's like, hey, man, he's calling in the chits here, man. You know, it's my turn. So it's his turn to get up there and say whatever the hell he wants. And he keep talking about him being the front runner of Joe Biden, and it's his turn. And wow. What are they? I don't understand. I'm not paying attention because it's so bad.
Well, the best part is that Facebook does things where it gives you memories from things that you said in the past. And 10 years ago yesterday, my Facebook memory was, and this is from exactly 10 years ago yesterday, was Joe Biden shouldn't be allowed to speak on national TV or anywhere. And it was just funny that it lined up with when that clip came out, too. So, that's just a random, I mean, obviously that has nothing to do with finance. That didn't make my financial news chart.
All right, well, let's get to some finance. We got a couple minutes in this segment here. I'll get you started with this question. When they say they're going to let inflation run hot, how hot is it going to get? What do they mean? As they say that, I tell you why they say that, because they're not going to be able to stop it. You know, no, we're going to let it go. We could stop it if we wanted to, but, you know, we're just going to let that inflation thing go. And I'm going as if they had a choice. So what are they talking about?
Yeah, I love how they use the operative word let. Like, oh, we're going to allow it, just like you were talking about, where they have no way to stop it. And I think they just want to be able to not freak people out when it happens. And who's ever, you know, because who's ever on, you know, working at the Fed right now, they don't want it to collapse underneath their watch. So if they can just, you know, kick the can down the road and have the next person deal with the problem, then it's, you know, off their consciousness. So I think it's just they're trying to get ahead of the problem that they know. And so, but instead of trying to fix a problem, they're just trying to cheerlead and BS their way around it, because there's no way they're going to be able to stop it. And if you take a look at any of their stress tests, none of the Fed stress tests actually show basically what would be the worst case scenario, where you have inflation rising while having decreasing asset prices would be the worst case scenario. And they don't even model that in their stress test. And here they are talking about letting inflation run hot when they don't even model the actual scenario of inflation running hot, because they've lost control. And whether there's inflation, I mean, the inflation right now is in financial assets. I mean, so it's all the financial assets, it's all the stocks, it's all the housing, it's everything basically that is just in a complete bubble right now. And it's just a complete absolute mess. That's all of their own doing. You know, and then we've got another article over here where it says, oh, what we've seen the past 2 years is at odds with everything. And so when we come back, we're going to talk about the what's been going on globally with GDP and stocks, you know, the past 2 years versus what's going on with the actual data, and take it from there. That's not.
We got to get ready. This 2020 cycle, it's going to be the economy, stupid, that's going to slap you upside the head. And then what?
Is spreading the message of liberty.
Yeah, it's going to be people begging for relief.
Well, the other funny thing I just realized is at one point in 2000, you probably had Trump, who is registered as a Democrat, who's now the Republican, running as a Republican, obviously. And then you had Michael Bloomberg, who was a Democrat, who then switched to a Republican to then become mayor of New York, who now then is switching back to a Democrat to then run against Trump. So at one point, one of them, they were both Democrats, and now they're both running against each other. So it just, I didn't make this up.
Yeah, this Bloomberg thing. Bloomberg News decided that they're not covering anything about Bloomberg, because, you know, what's good to cover? So they we're just not going to say anything about Bloomberg because we don't have to. Well, then Trump goes, okay, well, Bloomberg's not, news isn't allowed to any of our press thing or campaign, you know, events or anything like that. And Bloomberg, is that the Democrat? Why is he there? I mean, you know, it's not, I don't see any benefit to any. I don't know. Why is he there? What's his goal?
I mean, he's part of the they, them, those power structure elite. And
yeah, to do what? Why is he running for president? I don't understand. There's something, you know, they're planning on, you need to be up there so when we, you know, put a bullet in the head of Trump, you can be there or something, or white people like rich white guys or so. I don't know what they're thinking. They're not thinking. There's something else going on. Why?
Well, I mean, I think he's, you know, part of that entire class that, you know, has Trump derangement syndrome, and he, you know, wants to be the guy wielding the power. And actually, I think with Bloomberg, he'd rather not necessarily be the guy, but, you know, when he takes a look at, you know, we're on break right now, so, you know, the dipshits like Joe Biden out there, who's talking about his hairy legs and kids jumping on his lap, and he realizes, okay, this is the front runner, and it's going to be another 4 years of Trump. And so who knows? They're both New York City billionaires that, you know, we're in the same circles, I'm sure. And, you know, maybe they just really just don't like each other. And Bloomberg sees that there's a chance that all these people who are running, you know, are complete clowns. So, you know, he probably figures there's no way he can do any worse. It also takes the mystique of him potentially running third party away too. I mean, to some extent, because that was always thrown around that he'd run as an independent. But now we also have Kamala Harris, who now got axed thanks to Tulsi Gabbard. So at least,
yeah, no, this Tulsi thing is the one thing that's interesting to me. They're doing everything they can to diss her, and I'm going, wow, you know, she, I mean, not that I, anything that she has to say about policy, I don't care. I'm not.
You'd be better off just ignoring her than
yeah. I mean,
when you have Hillary coming out and saying that she's a Russian agent and that Jill Stein's a Russian agent. I mean, even throwing Jill Stein in there. I mean, Hillary came out and said Jill Stein is clearly a Russian asset who was there to help out Vladimir Putin. And so,
It demonstrates. I had to look up the word because I remember, you know, the definition, and you know, and I couldn't think of a better word, and you have it defined as hubris. Hubris is when people get like a godlike complex of themselves, they're so overconfident that they way overreach whatever. And I'm going, that is definitely explains Hillary and the crowd. They can't understand. It's like the last scene in the last Matrix of the Oracle versus Architect kind of deal, is that he's just there to balance the equation. He can't understand. They don't know the human element. They can't. They just can't. And it's gotten so bad and incestuous and such a cabal, they can't understand that all of a sudden it's just all going to get abandoned in our minds. All right, here we come back.
RN.FM.
There are those that just want to be left alone and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yeah, who can play air guitar on the radio better than me? I've yelled, dear, 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 dear. All right. Tim Picciotte, libertyadvisor.com, the Liberty Advisor. And he's also got some other stuff. We'll go with the innovativewealth.com and crypto this and that and so on. But what's your main one that you're known by? The Liberty Advisor? What?
Yeah, Liberty Advisor would be the main one. And one thing we've got going on now that I wasn't doing in the past is I'm also available for doing an hourly consultation package right now. So 5 hours for $1,500, which, you know, if you've got $1 million problems, you know, I can solve them potentially for $1,500. And I wasn't doing that in the past because I had to build up my income. And so now that I've got it back built up and I've got some extra time, I'm doing some consultation.
Well, how's it going? I mean, you know, you kept adding more client, getting more. All of a sudden, you good now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still working myself out of a little bit of the hole that I got in from before, but my income's back up to what it was before. Now the new clients are coming on at a much quicker pace than before.
Thing gives you some props there is what Tim had to do to be able to do this crypto, whatever he had to like, you know, stop. Give up a lot of his certifications of this. You're not, because when you were doing this, there was a industry-wide, you're not allowed to talk about crypto. Yeah, that none shall pass. And then
at the worst possible time, like right as, you know, I get all this basically set up and we're about to talk at the TDB summit, Anarchapoco, and it was like the worst timing possible. I mean,
well, then you find out that the reason they were doing that is because those were going to be doing it. They go, we don't want competition from a bunch of you damn libertarians. You're not allowed. And then they go, but we got it. You know, that kind of crap. There is no place that the man doesn't touch that they aren't corrupt. It's a plague of corruption.
They came out with their own blockchain fund after basically making me, I don't want to say they made me resign. I mean, I chose to give the speech there, but you know, You know, they said that we weren't allowed to talk about Bitcoin or blockchain or even acknowledge that it exists. And then, oh, we come out with our own fund, you know, a few months later, and you can buy it through us. So that way we get a cut of whatever we're doing. But it was just things like NVIDIA stock and things like that, which is actually crazy. If I did a quick side segment. So I'm at the park the other day, there's no one there, and I hear this random couple start talking about NVIDIA stock and cryptocurrencies, and I start actually
NVIDIA. Kind of what's NVIDIA? I don't even know what that is.
They're the ones who make the graphic processor chips, GPU chips people use for mining.
Got it.
So they were talking about that and then Bitcoin. So then I started chiming in, and then I go to the bathroom and then come back, and then there's another couple, a different couple there, and then they start talking about NVIDIA stocks. I'm like, what the hell? Like, this is such such a random thing to. Now, I'm not making any recommendations on NVIDIA, just as an aside. That was one of the things that, when they came up with their own blockchain fund, it was companies like that. It wasn't actual Bitcoin.
I don't know, man. When the shoeshine boy starts talking about stocks, it's time to sell.
That's the exact analogy that was going through my head as all this was happening. But let's get back to. We've got an article here called Trader. What we've seen in the past 2 years is at odds with everything. And this is from Zero Hedge. And right now, I could probably just share the link with your audience. It'd be even better. Meanwhile, global GDP sagged dramatically last year as stocks melted down. Since then, activity has stayed depressed even as equities rebounded. This behavior is at odds with past episodes. Typically, growth and stocks bounce together after such a decline. So we're looking at, probably call it, beginning of 2018, even probably going back to mid 2017, late 2017, the global GDP, gross domestic product, has actually fallen pretty sharply. And big time. But then you take a look at the other line, the green line, and it shows stocks. A little bit of a roller coaster, but by and large, stocks are actually up globally. Actually, globally, might be down like a hair, but a lot of that is because the U.S. is up a ton and other places are down. So if this was a U.S. Index, you'd see that going through the roof. But it shows usually you should have growth and earnings should be what's dictating stock price. But what's dictating stock price is the anticipation of more central bank money printing. And this then leads me to another article that was also from Zero Hedge. So I'll get this one pulled up right now. And it's Bill Blaine. It didn't take skill to make money in 2010 to 2019. Just understanding that central banks can't stop juicing markets. And I think that's pretty much all you need to know is just the headline right there, where it's not like there's a blowout GDP data, there's blowout earnings per share data. It's the fact that the Fed is going to do more quantitative easing or not. And right now they are actually stimulating more now, supposedly not doing quantitative easing than they were when they were doing quantitative easing. So it's just all this whole big semantic word game. There's no way this is going to end well. Another thing that points to things not ending well is we have got another article from Michael Snyder here, and it says 47% of GDP. This is definitely the scariest corporate debt bubble in U.S. history. And so we take a look at, let me pull up this article too on the screen for those of you watching. And right now, what you can see is that since 2008, corporate debt is up 52%. And it just shows, and we've got an article here that shows, let me try to pull it up. Yeah, it shows, where we're at during the dot-com bubble, where we're at during the housing bubble, and then where we're at right now, what they're calling the everything bubble. And so, the other thing you've got going on is if you add up all the corporate debt, it comes to a number that's over $15.5 trillion. Now, the 47% number that they're talking about, that's off of a $10 trillion, which is a more conservative number. But if you add up other forms of corporate debt, you're looking at $15.5 trillion, which is probably closer to 100%. Yeah, they said, okay, that's 74% of U.S. GDP. And so all this is predicated on companies basically buying back their own stock. They're able to repatriate money because the main thing that the tax code that Trump signed did. There was some other benefits for
brought a bunch of their money from overseas, and then they bought their own stock with it, so they get bigger bonuses.
Yeah, they gave a little bit of the chattel down here. They gave us the proletariat. They gave us a few breadcrumbs out of this whole deal. And now I also saw the other day that Trump is trying to threaten France because France is taxing all these big tech companies not favorably, like Amazon, Google, Facebook. And I'm like, no, why should Donald Trump's first effing response to the people that hate him, the people that are going to cause him to lose the next election because they're electioneering everything. Why is his number one priority helping out Google, Facebook, and these other guys slapping tariffs on? Like, I could give two, you know, what's about helping out these companies. Where, you know, Josh and I the other day, we posted a video on the inflation running hot. It was on Deutsche Bank. The first, you know, it had a massive amount. I mean, well, relatively speaking, it was 15,000 people saw the video like right off the bat, and then boom, you know, we get stuck. Yesterday, the video we came out first 20 minutes, 1,000 people watch it. 3 hours later, it's at 1,500 views. And so, you know, they just instantly just meter you, and you can see it happening in real time. You know, we're not idiots. And so who's doing this to us? It's people like YouTube. And most of the stuff we say about Donald Trump is actually critical of him, but it's not that we don't have Trump derangement syndrome. And we call it out both ways. And so they can't even have that. And you know, we're coming up on December 10th here in 6 days, and we'll see, if we're even still around on YouTube or they tube, as I like to call it.
Yeah, December 10th, they're going to be, you know, implementing a lot of their, I don't know, whatever the hell, they gave you a warning.
Their terms of service, where if you're not commercially viable.
Well, they make sure you're not. You know, that's the point. You know, one thing before we hit the break, I want to show the audience this. I don't have it because you have the screen there, but it's called the Baltic Dry Index. The Baltic Dry Index is just how much tonnage there is in shipping and how, you know, filled up the ships are. And you can see, you look at it, it goes up and down. So the last, you know, year, this is 12 months, you know, now you see it goes up and down and up and down. And it's kind of, but what you don't see is this, what it was in 2008-09, it took a dump and it hasn't recovered. You're going little ups and down, ups and down. You're up to 12,000, you know, peaking of the tonnage of, you know, whatever the heck it is, and millions of pounds, whatever it is, you know, and now it's down to, you know, below 2,000. So it's the trade is greatly reduced, and then you look at the stock market, and what do you see? You see everybody, it's to the roof. You know, oh, we're all making a bunch of money. We're doing, no, they're not. It's what, you know, Tim was showing you, all these, you know, your stock portfolio up there is really high. It's too high. It's way too high. And it's going to go, and it affects what more than anything else? All of the pensions. This pension, your retirement and everything, if you're in the U.S. dollar, if you're in the U.S. stock market, we'll get the Liberty Advisor to tell us what we should be doing.
From the second letter of Captain Mark. Any pirate knows that commerce is communication. Markets condense oceans of information into a single price. Innovations in communication are circumventing the scrutiny of the crown. This signals a change in the coin of the realm. The crown uses digital currency to surveil, censor, seize, and destroy wealth at will, so pirate currency must protect us from this weaponized money. We need to move funds further, faster, cheaper, and without third-party observation, basing decisions on an accelerating flow of information. So pirates require nearly instantaneous transactions with no arbitrary limits on volume or artificial influences on fees. Most importantly, a pirate currency must preclude centralization. Otherwise, it will become another link in our chain to the crown. A superior currency will result in the obsolescence of the coin of the realm and the extinction of the crown itself. Trade above the grid. Join us at piratswithoutborders.com.
Should we be in dollars and stocks and anything at all?
I mean, it's always, you know, compared to what?
Compared to freaking give me a chunk of gold or something. You know, I a lot of my friends and people, they're retiring now and doing, they go, oh yeah, we're doing woohoo. And I'm going, it's gone. That you see that? They're going, ooh, look at all that. We'll do it. It's ours now. And how have you protected against that? So I'm going to hate being right. Again, you know, so it's, I don't know. How do you protect people like that? They're in their retirement. They got all this stuff in the dollar. And I mean, do you think it's not going to go down? Or even if it does go up, it's inflation is just going to be, yeah, you doubled your money to 2 million and bought a loaf of bread with it. I mean, you know, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, I think that is going to happen. Where,
So I mean, what's the protection? I mean, what are you doing with your clients and stuff? I mean, they're going to want I don't know. They come to you to, you know, trade it better. This is one thing. A good friend of mine's, one of his best friends, filthy, stinking rich. I mean, you know, like hundreds. And so he goes, I go, man, this is going to zero. And he goes, yeah, but it never reaches zero. And he goes, you can make money on the way down, up, whatever. I can convert it into whatever. And he goes, I go, but it's going to zero. He goes, going. It's always going to zero. But it never, as long as the dollar is there, you can make money on it, you know, and then convert it into whatever. And I'm going, all right, as long as, you know, he understands it's never to zero, but will the dollar ever be abandoned? You know, will they'll probably call it the dollar, but they're going to do something different. I don't know what's on the horizon.
I mean, the example that I always give, are we on break still?
Yeah.
Right now? Okay. This one I should probably wait till we come back on. But yeah, I can give an example about how in Germany, if you were to hold on to their, you know, currency, you know, back during the Weimar Republic versus holding on to a stock, and then how that would have turned out for you. You know, because right now, I mean, you're just trying to be the least worse off in whatever is going to go down. I mean, and hopefully try to make some money as well. But yeah, I think the main thing I'm trying to do for people is actually come up with a plan, because most people have no idea how much money they need to earn, even under good scenarios. So even under rosy scenarios, most people are screwed. So assuming this stuff doesn't even happen, the average person out there, you know, the average baby boomer might have $250,000 saved for retirement. You know, I'd say, and half of them have about nothing saved for retirement. And
you know, so, I can tell that before it went last time, everybody was in the, you know, the get rich quick thing, you know, buy, you know, Iraqi dollars, dinars or something. And there was always something.
People are still doing that crap. Right?
I know. But, you know, it's, all right, we're coming back. Here we go.
.fm. That's discord.lrn.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, yeah. Toto out of Africa. We ain't talking about Africa. You know, that's a whole that. You know, Africa's going to be on the, you know.
Josh and I just did a video on Africa a couple days ago.
Did you really?
I sent it to Donna this morning, actually.
All right. Yeah, we'll get that up. Well, thank you. You know, I'm going, yeah, this Africa thing, it's going to become a thing. You know, that's like the whole.
Jack Dorsey said he's going to move to, the CEO of Twitter said he's going to move to Africa for the 2020 election to avoid it. That was like 3 days ago.
Why Africa? Well, you know, there's a lot of Africa, but I mean, I don't know. There's got to be some charming place in Africa. You know, it's out in the Lone Prairie in the middle of the way, you know, maybe that. But, you know, where do you go? You know, America really is the world's utopia. I mean, America's relatively nice. And of course, there's some guy with a shiny badge and a gun will explain it to you. But, you know, it's, yeah, we still have a lot more freedoms here. It's relatively clean. And, you know, there's not, you know, those want to get youth all hyped up on something so that they're laying waste with their gun to school and their, you know, waking dream world of whatever the hell is going on. You know, and they just know that they're going to have these shootings because they're making sure. It's just messing with people's heads. And I don't know where this goes, but the battle is probably here, you know, in America. I mean, what are you going to do? Go to Hong Kong? You know, I mean, is that where the battle is? Because that's coming here. You know, all this surveillance, all this in your, you know, chair,
credit score.
Jail chair. Yeah, you know, you got to sit there. Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to say bad things about the government.
This is also why you need. This is a perfect use case for hailing frequencies invisible, because one of the things they ding you for is actually talking to people who have low credit score or who have low social credit scores themselves. So obviously, guys like me and you, if anyone talks to us, we're going to be blacklisted on this type of 1984 world that's coming.
Yeah, I don't think so. Look at your YouTube throttling.
Yeah, I mean, anything that you share that could be deemed as being fake news, aka not toting the CNN line, then you're going to ding for that. And then, I mean, and they're dinging. It's not like you're dinged for it. You're not allowed to travel on a train or plane or move. And, you know, it's just absolutely ridiculous. And that's we've been warning about this stuff for years, and nobody seems to care. And you know, where are all the social justice warriors?
There's some presidential politician, you know, candidates are arguing, oh, we need some kind of a score. I'm like, wow, yeah, we are going to take your guns, you know. And I'm like, Wow. Okay. So you're going to talk about Germany and stocks and things that are happening now. You know, let's get some financial advisory. And if they want to get, you know, special, you can pay them $1,500 and they'll give you 5 hours. So what I want to do is just go ahead and, you know, explain to me what is the future and what we should be doing.
Okay. Well, I mean, first off, the only thing I really advise people on, mainly the first thing is having a financial plan. And I was, you know, really kind of busy the past year, getting everything back on track. Wasn't doing a whole bunch of that. Now we're back on track doing that. And so it's taking a look at, okay, this is what we have coming in. This is what I've done so far to save. This is what I would like to do. Establishing what you'd like to do, because a lot of times no one's ever really thought about that. Also coming up with a worst case scenario, making sure that, you know, in a, you know, this type of Weimar Republic type scenario, that we end up somehow being able to manage, at least being able to get by. And there's lots of different ways out there to hedge these different risks. And
hell, Doug Casey's all about, man. He's like, when the things go to crap, it's when people get rich. Woohoo!
Yeah, and he's right. And so you've got to have money, though, in order to invest into some of the assets that have lost a lot of money when that happens. And so one of the strategies that we've been employing is by running a put option strategy, which means that as put options increase in value, as the value of the stocks go down. But also what it allows us to do is say, okay, we use a little bit to protect the downside. But then if we have, you know, a big upside, like this year we're up, you know, let's say the market's up 25%-ish, you know, roughly, you know, then we would, you know, we would do well from that as well, just because we would get the benefit from the market going up. And then so it's up minus whatever the put option is. And so we've got, you know, so as long as the market's either up big or down big, you know, our strategy is going to work, you know, decently well, but we don't want to run this forever. Eventually, you know, what's going to happen is, you know, if the market does go down, then those put options will go up in value. And then there'll be a bunch of things that lost way too much money. Then we'll then kind of snipe into some of those, areas. I mean, like just kind of carefully pick those areas and try to hopefully then make money. Things that are not concerned with actually doing real planning to see what, you know, how things are modeled out. People don't actually take into account inflation. If they do take into account inflation, they're only taking into account like 1 or 2 or 3% inflation. People never take into account, okay, well, what if the market does go down 20% the year that I go, that I retire? Or most people have no idea how much risk is in their portfolio to even know how much it would likely go down under different types of market environments, or conversely, how much it might go up during different market environments. And so we can help put clarity to all that. You know, I'd mentioned the $1,500 thing. If you have, you know, depending on how much assets you have with us, it's something that might even be included. But if you're like, hey, you know, I'm good, I've managed my own money, I just want some outside advice, that's something now that I'm doing. Before, I only had more premium planning packages, you know, especially more geared towards the people that got into crypto early. But you know, that's something we're still doing, and that's something you want to plan on doing now. And you know, I can take retainers on that now, and so that way you've got your. And there's a few people who have done that have basically have already, you know, paid me a retainer. So then that way they're boom, they're front in line. We've got things set up for when Bitcoin does go to, you know, $10,000, $12,000, $13,000, $14,000, $15,000, $20,000, that we've got the instruments set up to then boom, get the tax break. Because what we saw us last time is a few people, we didn't get everything set up in time because it's been a big, you know what show at these exchanges trying to get, you know, because everybody wants to wait till Bitcoin's up at a certain level, and they all wait way too long. And then what happens is we can't get everything set up in time. And then now Bitcoin's back. I mean, actually today, I think it went up again, but let's say, you know, but anyways, it's not at the level we need in order to get the optimal tax breaks. All right. Shifting back into the stock market. I did pull up during the break, the German stock market. And so what we see here is, you know, it was about, you know, 1920. I mean, it was, you know, about 400, the German stock market, and they're priced in, I believe at the time it was in Goldmark. And then, so when they went from Goldmark, Renmark, Reichmark, Deutschmark. Now, you know, we take a look 4 years later, and I don't know, I mean, whether that's 20 million or 50 million, I think is, you know, immaterial at this point. But, you know, so yeah, so it went from, you know, the stock market went from 500 to 20 million in the span of 4 years. Now, if you were holding on to, and this is a stock that was around back then, Mercedes-Benz, and you decided that you would invest into Mercedes-Benz stock, and now, you know, you had, let's say, 100 shares, and now maybe because of dividends or capital gains, maybe now you'd have 102 shares, but instead of being priced in Goldmark, maybe now it's priced in Renmark, and then the Renmark collapses, and so now maybe you've got 104 shares priced in Reichmark, and then the Reichmark goes down, and maybe now you've got 105 shares priced in Deutschmark, and then you know, then eventually the Deutschmark gets turned into the euro. And so by holding on to an actual asset, if you have a company that's making widgets, and as long as people still need to buy those widgets and can afford to buy those widgets, it's one, but it's not the only way, because you've got to, in retirement, also have income sources. You have to make sure your income sources can keep up with inflation. There's certain strategies that myself and your son-in-law with annuities can hedge a few different things that way. But again, you don't necessarily want to have all your money in that either. I think it makes sense to have some sort of way to be able to cover your nut and you know, for the minimum income you need coming in on a monthly basis. And then I think you need things like gold and silver.
Well, Patrick Byrne sold and liquidated, and he bought all of the, you know, the tens of millions in gold, silver, and a couple of cryptos, and sitting on the sidelines waiting, and said, when it goes, I'll be able to fund whatever the hell I want. You know, I mean, that's the confidence he had in things going. So, I mean, you got a timing thing? What's the trigger for you where you start making the switch over in the on the puts? You take the resources from that and then start buying selective stocks. I mean, and how do you choose these? You know, you're going philosophical, like Steve Jobs, Apple, or Elon Musk, Tesla. I mean, I see the same. There's people, you know, the markets don't behave the way they're supposed to. We should have shorted, and we all jumped on the short, and they're shorting, and Tesla kept going up, that some bitch. You know, it's not fair. So, how do you pick these stocks? How do you know? I mean, you can retroactively go and say Mercedes-Benz, but Mercedes-Benz might as well have been Tesla back then. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm just mentioning that because that's the only company.
No, I understand, but my point is that, you know, it's how do you select stocks? What's your secret, you know, sauce?
Well, a lot of times we have Kirk Chisholm that's doing our portfolio management for us, and I sort of act as an overlay on top of that. Kirk's been on your show, at least once. You know, he's a great guest, you know, very, very smart individual. And, you know, essentially that we're most of the average return is going to be in most of the return has to do with what asset class you're in. So if you're in a tech stocks, it doesn't matter if you're in usually the best or the worst, they're all going up. And so it's more important to pick out the industry that you think is going to go up necessarily than the individual stocks. So I don't really dabble in much as individual stocks as much as I'm the guy that helps doing the planning, helps, you know, with allocations. And then I, you know, tell Kirk, hey, this is what's going on in their life. And he then helps with the portfolio management. So it's one of the ways that we can help. But, you know, I feel confident, you know, that I've got my grandparents' money with me, and that if the market were to, you know, I wake up and I read Drudge and everything hits the fan tomorrow, that my clients would be okay. And that's a good feeling.
Good feeling. You know, taking care of business. But I'm worried about anything denominated in the dollar.
We have some good news. The indictments again.
Anything. I don't think people are prepared for what's coming emotionally, intellectually. I don't think it's so huge that they can't wrap their minds around it. And I feel that. I'm going, I don't think they see. I mean, we're talking about, you know, like food, you know, worrying about, you know, like electricity and stuff, about being able to pay the bills. And people got an inkling in 2009. A lot of people got a downright freaking master's degree lesson, you know, but it's we're going up to Washington.
Very expensive master's degree too.
This next week we're going to be spending some time up in Washington talking about these things and kind of deciding for the next year of whatever. And because Donna and I, we can't keep riding these out anymore. We're up there. We're going to be 60 here directly, and then what? And my biggest thing was worrying about my kids. So now my kids are, you know, they're good. You know, we got, you know, the kids are fine. You know, they got it going on. They know how to do stuff. They're healthy. They got, you know, their families. You know, Sierra, the youngest, is now 30. So I'm like, all right, you know, it's time for us to focus on us now. And, you know, where, how? I'm too lazy and stupid, so I just keep buying silver. You know, I just go, all right, well, you know, you pissed me off. I bought a 50-pound bag of beans and some silver. I mean, you know, I did, you know, at least that. So I don't know. Because I don't think I can even anticipate how bad it's going to get. And when I say how bad it's going to get, what's it? You know, I mean, where your money doesn't work anymore. It doesn't do what you need it to do, if you even have it. You know, so.
Well, yeah, a lot of people don't even have anything to lose. So, you know, it's going to, you know, so for a lot of people, who knows? I mean, it's just weird because now you've got the whole, demographic crisis with all the baby boomers retiring at the same point. They're going to be pulling from the pensions at the same point that they don't, you know, as the pensions don't have 10 years to go wait things out next time go around. There's just so many things. Then you take a look at like the birth, death, a replacement ratio that's gone to hell in a handbasket. I mean, there's not enough babies coming, even being born, to pay for the other generation.
Yeah. There's going to be some central banking guy go, yeah, we need to import a bunch of immigrants because damn. You know,
they've already been doing that, and so on the one hand, you also have, you've got, you know, the babies aren't being born, and then on the other hand, you've got, I know, so many middle aged people who are, you know, either overdosing on fentanyl or getting, you know, and so actually, I mean, the life expectancies are actually going down for, you know, middle aged white guys in America, and. It's so, you know, so on both ends, you're getting, you know, people aren't even living as long, you know, right now, and people, and not enough babies are being born. So, I guess maybe people dying early might actually help the situation a little bit, but,
well, they don't want you to just die. They want you to
suck all the money out first.
Yeah. They want you to suffer. You know, they need you in a hospital, you know, I've got 15 gazillion stories. I got to get that, Saeed. I see you there, Saeed. Hold on a second. We'll get right to you. But the, this is when we come back, we'll be doing a lot of holiday stuff and kind of, you know, be upbeat about some stuff, hopefully. But, good news is, but it's going to get, certainly by January, man, it's not going to be a secret anymore of what's happening. And I want to talk about when we come back, week after next, it's going to be with a new perspective on whatever the hell we're going to do. And it's like with Kent Heckenlively in the first hour, they have the book with Dr. Judy, Plague of Corruption. And I've done this before. We do books to all the legislators, certainly here in the state. We can do it nationwide. It's not that much. And it's just on their debt. It's an activist thing. It gives you a power. Yeah, they got it. I know they got it. They're still scumbags and I don't care. It's just a PR thing. And so I can see with something like that, there's going to be an awakening of the people on so many different issues, and they've just hitting them. It's a death of 1,000 cuts that they're having on the middle class. And sooner or later, they're going to realize they already have. They are. That's why Trump got elected. You know, and it's going to be one of the reasons why he's going to get reelected unless they something. I don't know what the hell they're going to do, but they're not going to go quietly in that good night and to bring up Bloomberg. I'm like, what the hell? They have no bench. I mean, there's nobody. I mean, hell, even The Rock and Tom Hanks were threatening to run. Well, fine, run. You know, waiting on
you now. I wish they would bring up nobody. You know, the guy running in
right
in New Hampshire.
Yeah, you know, I vote for
nobody.
Yeah,
it's just you know, it's just amazing we've been even able to get to this point right now, and that amazing that nobody really cares. And you know, and unfortunately, it's sort of bad for my business, because when things are going great like this, and then with the message I'm talking about, no one, everyone's like, oh, well, you know, I made money last year. I've got no reason to move or do anything. And then, you know, then they'll come, you know, crying to me when they've lost 45% of it. And
well, see, that's what your advice on how you're structuring people is. One, yeah, we can make some gains. It's going up. Yeah, we're doing up. But the biggest thing is, you know, what's your risk? Well, the biggest thing is people are in
sequence of return risk.
People are in big, way more risk than they realize. And what you need to do is, you know, protect that what you got. And oh my God, you make some money when everybody else is losing it. Woohoo, you win, you know, because they're not going to look at how much they made. They're going to look at how much they got to keep, because everybody's y'all in now, and it's ours now, and it's happening again. I can sit there and watch. It's a slow motion train wreck, and sooner or later, it's going to hit the rock, man. Boom, and you're done.
Yeah, my greatest, I wish Frank was here for this, but my greatest frustration with Trump being in there is I wanted him to be the guy that picks up all the pieces, because I thought, you know, my God, if you know, Hillary, if this all crashes down and Hillary's in there, it's going to be social credit score coming to America and all this terrible stuff. And yeah, and great. So great. You know, we averted something we delayed it by 4 to 8 years. Whoop-de-doo. But what, you know, let's say Trump does win. Best case, let's say he does win. Not let's say best case, for Frank. So let's say he does win. Okay, great. You know, so then what's going to happen is, so in 2024, we're going to have $2 trillion a year deficits by then.
We won't care, because we're going to be at war with Iran, which means China and Russia.
Which means we need to elect a Democrat military person to, Democrats are not anti-war. I mean, Bloomberg's not even, you know, he's out there saying marijuana legalization's been the dumbest thing this country's ever done. Joe Biden has said similar things about marijuana.
Oh God, it's a train wreck. I mean, I got to get my next guest. You know, maybe I'll call you later. I wanted to talk to you about some other stuff off air, but cool. You know, peace, brother. I got to get going. Talk to you later, man.
Bye.
Bye.